That last point in the conservation ethic, the realization that scientific research is needed to inform management, lay the groundwork for the birth of conservation biology as a field. Michael Soule and Bruce Wilcox, his co-author, were two ecologists that published a working definition in 1980. Quote, conservation biology is a mission-driven discipline, comprising both pure and applied science. We feel that conservation biology is a new field, or at least a new rallying point for biologists wishing to pool their knowledge and techniques to solve problems. This publication made Michael Soule be seen as the father of the field of conservation biology. Well, we know that the growth of this field paralleled this increasing public awareness about the continuing onslaught on the environment of human activity and the subsequent rise of environmentalism that occurred in the 60s and 70s. Rachel Carson uncovered the damaging effects of DDT and other pesticides on wildlife in her book Silent Spring, which included an exposé of the devastating eggshell thinning that threatened the survival of bald eagles, condors, and many wetland birds. And then in 1973, the Endangered Species Act was passed, signaling a nationwide recognition that action had to be taken to avert extinction of many species. So conservation biology emerged as a crisis discipline, harnessing science to study scarcity and diversity, and implicit within it, the value of the things we were losing. Now, conservation biology has expanded. It always has bridged science, biology, ecology, and biogeography with resource management, forestry, fisheries, and parks. And this connection with things that humans value and the goal of preventing damage or loss of these things is really what sets conservation biology apart from so many other pure sciences, as I mentioned before. Today, more and more fields have joined in conservation biology, including genetics, sociology, anthropology, and economics, speaking to the very multidisciplinary nature of this field.